considering the Republican candidate was, let's say, less than scintillating out on the campaign trail. He was a lousy fundraiser and, you know, wasn't very articulate on the stump. So I wouldn't read a whole lot of into this. I know the Democrats are going to say this means the blue wave is coming, but it certainly doesn't mean that to me.
You work with a lot of candidates locally. Is it going to impact your advice to your candidates?
Because our candidates, you know, need to run the way they've been running as Republicans, because they're Republican candidates, the ones that I'm working with. The advice that is going to be conflicting is to the Democrat candidates, and I think it's probably particularly relevant to the Democrat primary for governor, in which you have a hard left, you know, bona fide liberal in Chris Giuliani running against Steve Sisolak, who has, up until Chris G got into the race, portrayed himself more as a moderate candidate. And I think that he will see this more as an indication that he needs to moderate his views after the primary, although from now until June 12th, he's going to have to run hard left in order to get the nomination from Chris G. She's a serious threat to his nomination.
Again, joining us, Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach on our City National Bank guest hotline. I'm curious if you think this will cause the president to do anything differently, or will it change candidates wanting the president to come out and campaign for him?
The president of the United States coming into their district and campaigning with them. He still is president of the United States, with all of the pomp and circumstance that comes with a White House visit. On the other hand, this loss on the heels of the Roy Moore loss, on the heels of the Luther Strange loss, it probably has some political folks in the White House second-guessing whether this is a good thing for the president to be going so far out there in endorsing candidates. You know, they may be reevaluating whether this is in his best interest at this point to endorse candidates, you know, in both primaries and in general elections.
Rex Tillerson is fired. Mike Pompeo slides over to the Secretary of State. What do you make of what's happened in the last couple of days, and in particular the process? I know we always agonize over process in government, but the way Tillerson was fired, what does it tell you? What does it portend for the future?
Here's how I'm looking at this, Kevin. We've got a president of the United States who has never been in politics before. In his first time out, won the highest office in the land and the most powerful position in the world. And he has had to start from a cold start, surround himself with a great number of people in his administration that he didn't know, that he didn't have experience working with. And I think that over the past year, he has gotten to know the players better. He's gotten to understand the system better. And he's continuing to rejigger his administration in a manner that puts people that he's much more comfortable working with, who are much more in line with his thinking and his agenda. And, I see this as a good thing. I think Donald Trump is a fast learner. I think he's learning quickly who he can depend on and who he wants to put in these positions. And he's a businessman. He's not going to agonize over decisions like this forever and say, well, should I or shouldn't I? He comes from the Lee Atwater political school that goes like this. When a decision has to be made, make the damn decision and implement it immediately. And that's the way this president operates. I know the news media wants to say, of course, the Democrats too, that, you know, it's an administration in crisis and, they're having problems. I don't see it that way. I see this president, as he has always been, including during his campaign, a man who actually thrives on chaos. He actually creates chaos, I think, often intentionally, because he wants to see how his people respond to it. So I don't see this as a big problem for the president. I think he's absolutely fine. I think he's going to get some people that he can depend on better surrounding him. And by the time he runs for re-election, I think he's going to be absolutely in great shape.
Do you take the Tillerson firing as maybe something that could have waited at least a day until after the Pennsylvania 18 election? Do you think it had any impact on that election at all?
I'd be hard-pressed to believe that, you know, I mean, that I don't see that as driving down Republican turnout or driving up Democrat turnout or changing anybody's votes who may have been undecided going into the polls yesterday. So I don't see that having any effect. And again, this is a president who doesn't necessarily, you know, sit there and decide politically, well, what's the best strategic thing to do from a political standpoint. He's a man who says, what's the best decision to make, and simply makes a decision and implements it.
More coming up with our buddy Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. We're going to talk about this huge student walkout. And is anything going to change? We'll do that and more coming up. My name is Kevin Wall. The program live and local now. Stress can make your life miserable. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Take it from me. Stress can come from work with bosses and coworkers or at home with family members. Dr. Christy Thomas, Doctor of Nursing, APRN, at Vitality Medical and Wellness Center, knows the triggers of stress vary from person to person, and so do the symptoms. Because stress is such a normal occurrence in our lives, many of us don't even recognize that we're suffering from it. If you're easily agitated, feel overwhelmed, have difficulty relaxing, or if you're going through a bout of low self-esteem, then you need to see if my friends at Vitality Medical and Wellness Center can help. A simple saliva test will determine any hormone imbalances, and then Dr. Christy will develop a treatment plan tailored to your needs. Call my friend Dr. Christy Thomas at Vitality Medical and Wellness Center. That's 702-731-1200. That's 702-731-1200. They're conveniently located just off the 215 at 5735 South Fort Apache and online at vitalitymedicalwellness.com.
My name is Eddie Marks, President and CEO of Western Costume Company, and I'm a client of City National Bank. And I was referred by my friend Bill Haber.
My name is Bill Haber, and I produce theater, television, and movies. I don't know how anybody builds any business without a really proper banking relationship. With City National Bank, we were able to save a 102-year-old company and build it to the largest theatrical costume company in the world.
Western Costume is a one-stop shop. We've got the finest craft people in the industry working at Western Costume Company. With the referral from Bill, we were able to buy costume companies that have really helped us grow our business, and that wouldn't have been possible without City National.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Hello, this is Brent Jones again, owner of Real Water and Real MMA. As a Nevada businessman, I understand how difficult it can be to stay in business and remain profitable. Taxation, excessive regulation, employment issues, lawsuits, competition, increases in supply cost. The list goes on. That is why a group of concerned business owners formed the Real Chamber of Commerce. We need a pro-business environment in our great state. Unfortunately, taxes have increased dramatically this past year, and regulation just keeps increasing, making it harder and harder to make ends meet. We must take Nevada back. The Real Chamber will work hard on your behalf to fight against additional tax increases and more regulation. You need a chamber that is truly on your side. That is the Real Chamber of Commerce. Please, join Real Water and other concerned business owners. Get involved and help take Nevada back. For more information, go to realchamberofcommerce.com. That's realchamberofcommerce.com or call 702-521-0632.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada. And in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. Good to have you with us. Chuck Muth joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline. He's the president of Citizen Outreach. He is plugged in. We have some 3,000 different walkouts, including here in Southern Nevada. And this is all on the four-week anniversary of the tragedy in Parkland, Florida. I know young people get very excited. They get energized. They are in Washington even as we speak, talking with Democrats about gun control. Is anything going to change? I know in Florida they've already passed a law, and Rick Scott has signed it. But do you think nationally this is going to have much impact?
No, I don't think so. I think this is going to be like a lot of the other protests that we've seen ever since Donald Trump was elected president. You had the Women's March, and that petered out. They tried to do it again this year, and it didn't have anywhere near the crowd.
Whoops.
Nature of the beast. Did I lose you?
Yeah, you lost us for just a minute.
You
were talking about the Women's March that kind of petered out, and go ahead.
Yep. I'm sorry. Yeah, and I think the same thing's going to happen here. And another thing that where there's a problem here is that some of these students are their own worst enemies when it comes to what they're trying to accomplish with members of Congress. I mean, they're posting things that are just absolutely false and in some cases just absolutely ridiculous, and it's going to be very difficult for members of Congress to take those types of protests and those types of communications seriously just because they're so ill-informed. It's not the students' fault necessarily. It's, you know, they're young and they really haven't been around long enough to understand this issue fully and all the ramifications of it. So, you know, I'm not saying it's necessarily their fault, but they are harming their own cause in the way that they're communicating about this sort of thing.
And is it possible that the reason for that is that these kids are all a product of our public school system that is the most liberal maybe on the planet?
I don't think there's any question about that, Kevin. I think you're absolutely right. Our public schools and the media in general, and certainly Democrats and liberals, have been indoctrinating our kids to believe that the gun itself is bad, not the bad person who is using the gun as a weapon. And it's such an easy argument to overcome that, you know, just because a drunk driver tragically kills a pedestrian doesn't mean that we take the cars away from people who aren't drunk drivers. And it's without doubt that these mass shootings that we have seen are not being committed by members of the National Rifle Association, which does tremendous work in promoting gun safety among youth in particular. I know the left hates to hear that, but we are teaching, or the NRA is teaching kids how to properly handle weapons and how to properly use them. So I do believe that you're correct, that it's the public schools and the liberals and the media who are indoctrinating these kids to believe something that simply isn't true.
We know that the House Intelligence Committee has wound down, or at least the Republicans on the committee have wound down their investigation into Russian collusion. And what they found is there is no Russian collusion, either from the Hillary camp or the Trump camp. So after a year, what do we have to show for this?
Yeah, and you got to sit back and say, what the heck took them so long? We've all known that there was no Russian collusion. We all know that Hillary Clinton lost that race because she was a lousy candidate. It didn't take collusion with the Russians to defeat Hillary Clinton. I guess the wheels grind slowly in Congress. It took them this long to come to an obvious conclusion, and it's going to take Robert Mueller's or Mueller's investigation for Russian collusion even longer before they come to that same conclusion. And I think what we're already seeing now is that they are unable to find Russian collusion with the Trump campaign, and so they're going out after all kinds of other things. It's mission creep that have nothing to do with the Russian collusion, but once they put this guy in charge of an investigation, he's decided that he's going to investigate something and find something, even if it's not what he was originally charged to look into.
Chuck Booth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach on our City National Bank guest hotline. Locally, Reuben Kiewen is still weighing whether to get back in the CD4 race on the Democrat side. What is your guesstimate about Nancy Pelosi and other leaders? Are they going to walk back their demand that Reuben Kiewen step aside in CD4?
I doubt it. Reuben doesn't have, if he wants any political future at all, he really doesn't have any choice but to run again now and pray for a miracle that somehow he pulls it out and keeps his seat, because otherwise he has absolutely no future as an elected official again. This is his one and only chance. That said, I don't think he can get past the primary. I think this is going to be Stephen Horsford's Democrat nomination to hold that seat again. There's not going to be any real support out there for Reuben Kiewen. Again, he doesn't really have any choice maybe but to run again if he wants to stay in elected office. But even if he does choose to do that, he doesn't have a prayer against Stephen Horsford.
What do you think of Horsford versus Crescent Hardy? How do you size up that matchup?
If you look at the voter registration numbers, you have to believe that this is Stephen Horsford's race to lose. And it will be a big, big, big thing if he does lose it. Crescent Hardy, again, in addition to having the problem of a big Democrat majority electorate in that district, also is going to have to combat the fact that he was a never Trump guy when he lost the seat 2 years ago. And there are still a lot of Republicans out there who have not forgotten and will never forgive the fact that he helped, he wasn't there for the president when the president needed him most, and helped turn this state blue for Hillary Clinton in that 2016 election. So it's big, big, big challenges for Crescent Hardy. And let's say Horsford's been in the seat, and he's got the advantages of he'll have money, he'll have endorsements, and he'll have the voter registration numbers. So it's going to be a real, real tough seat for Republicans to pick off.
I know a couple of weeks ago you were in Pahrump trying to get Dennis Hoff and his brothel reopened. This is just bizarre what's going on out there. Can you give us an update on what's going on with Dennis Hoff and his candidacy?
Well, one of the arguments that the Nye County Commission gave for closing it down was that they believed that it was a life and health safety issue because of violations of the fire code. But when I was out there last week, as we discussed last Thursday, the state fire marshal came in, did a complete inspection, and his ruling was that there was absolutely no fire code justification for closing this down. There's still an open question about whether or not modifications have been made to some of the buildings that required government approval. My understanding as of this morning is that the Nye County Commission is holding an emergency meeting this Friday to discuss that and determine whether or not to lift the suspension. I don't have any sense of where they're going to go with this, but hopefully we'll know something definitively, and hopefully they'll reopen a business and let these people get back to work on Friday.
And by the way, is it safe to say that this has nothing to do with public safety and it's more about hardball politics?
Now, this has to do with, and any businessman out there listening knows this, if you get on the wrong side of a politician or a government bureaucrat, they have at their disposal an army of investigators and inspectors who can make your life just absolutely miserable. You know, there's always something in the code or in the law that they can dig up if they really, really want to. And in this case, they really, really want to get Dennis Hoff because he dares to stand up to him, and they're doing everything they can to hurt the man and his business.
Hey, Chuck, always good. If folks want to find out about Nevada News and Views, I love getting it, and I always learn something from it. If folks want to know more about that or how to reach you, how do they go about doing it?
Just go to NevadaNewsAndViews.com and sign up for our free email newsletter.
I absolutely love it. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. How about it?
You got it, Kevin. Take care.
There you go. Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. A regular Wednesday feature here on Live and Local Now. Stick around. We got a whole bunch to do. What is the reaction of the Republican National Committee to what went down last night in Pennsylvania 18? It looks like the Republican has lost. Bob Poduchik is co-chair of the RNC. We're going straight to the top. We're not messing around with middle management. We're going straight to the top in the RNC. What does this all mean? We'll talk about that next. Live and Local Now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's Live and Local Now. Last night and even into this morning in Pennsylvania 18, they're still trying to decide who is winning. Rick Saccone has not conceded, and Lamb is claiming victory in that special election. If you watch cable news, if you watch MSNBC or CNN, MSNBC, any of those folks, you would swear it is Armageddon time for the Republican Party and that there's going to be a major implosion come November. Is that true? Is it false? What is the what are they saying at the RNC, the Republican National Committee? Bob Poduchik is co-chair of the RNC, and he joins us from our nation's capital. Bob, how you doing? Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm doing great, and appreciate the opportunity to be on with you today. Look, you know, a lot of this rhetoric that comes out of the mainstream media and the Democrats sounds a lot like 2016 when everyone told us that Donald J. Trump would not be elected president and Hillary Clinton would. So, you know, we've heard this kind of process argument from Democrats before in the past, and we'll see how it shows up in November.
Pennsylvania 18 is a district that Donald Trump carried by 20 points back in 2016.
Right.
What is different about the district? What is different about what happened in this race, one that everybody says the Republicans should have won handily?
Well, Kevin, we still don't know who's won the seat, and it may be several hours or several days before we do. But here's one thing I can say for sure. We know that whoever represents the current 18th district in Pennsylvania is going to be pro-Second Amendment, pro-life, pro-Trump tax cuts, and anti-Nancy Pelosi. Sounds a lot to me like your typical Republican candidate. And you know, I think that's a big part of the equation here. I mean, Connor Lamb wasn't even proud enough to put Democrat on his yard sign, so I don't know that his election, if it were to happen, would necessarily represent a Democratic wave.
Politics is all about adjustment. What the other guy's doing, you have to adjust to it. It's like playing
right.
Baseball and hitting, and they pitch you differently on a Monday. By Tuesday, you've got to adjust. Is there any adjustment that's going to be needed for Republican candidates across the country? Because you know that everybody and their brother is going to be trying to be Republican light in the general election. Does that mean we're going to have to change our approach?
Well, I think you always want to look for ways to improve, and I love the baseball analogy because politics is a dynamic process, and that's what happens with issues and candidates and so on. But here's what I know is most Democrats that are going to run for office in November, whether it be the Senate or Congress or governor, are not going to be running campaigns like Connor Lamb did. They're not going to be running pro-Second Amendment, pro-life, pro-tax cut campaigns. The incumbents can't because the incumbents, not a single Democrat in the House or Senate voted for President Trump's tax cuts. And so you're some of that's going to be different, but to your central question, because I think what you're getting at is how do we look at this thing going in November? Well, traditionally, these races are tough for the president's party. The incumbent president in the White House always takes a hit in these midterm elections, and we've known that from the beginning, and we've prepared such, and we're raising the money we need to. We're putting the troops on the ground in states like Nevada. We've got dozens of staffers out there that have been working out there for months, registering voters, getting ready to knock doors and make phone calls. And so we are doing our part to prepare here, but I think we've got a lot to show for it, because I think we've got issues we can talk about that are going to resonate with working families in Nevada.
Let me just ask you, from a candidate standpoint, Rick, we've heard whispers that maybe Rick Saccone wasn't a great candidate. I'm not sure how closely you followed Pennsylvania 18, but I'm curious your thoughts on Saccone and the job he did, raising money, doing the things that candidates are supposed to do.
Well, I think he's fought a good fight. That's the thing about this. These are binary choices when they come down to these elections and stuff. And you give a little bit of credit to Connor Lamb. I mean, he's served in the Marine Corps. He's a prosecutor. He's a young, a good-looking guy that's articulate and is a good, hard-working campaigner. I mean, you can't take anything away from him. And, Rick Saccone is a very accomplished veteran himself. He served our country well. He has a tremendous amount of experience. In some ways, you could almost say he's overqualified to be in the U.S. Congress. Those are all factors that go into this. And I don't think it serves any purpose to dump on it one way or the other. I think that when you are making the statement, like the Democrats and their friends in the media are, that this single race in southwestern Pennsylvania somehow is a prelude to a Democratic wave, you're playing the inside baseball game. You're talking about process instead of talking about issues. Not a single voter makes their decision based on process. They choose the candidate that's the person that they want in there, and they choose the candidate's going to focus on the issues that they want changed. So,
again, Bob Poduchek joining us, co-chair of the RNC, joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Could Connor Lamb have survived a primary? This again was a special election. A lot of people are saying a guy as moderate, quote moderate, as Connor Lamb probably couldn't have survived a Democrat primary.
Well, Kevin, you make a great point there. That's absolutely correct. I mean, and if you want proof of that, you may or may not have heard of a guy by the name of Dan Lipinski in the 3rd Congressional District in Illinois. He is a pro-life Democrat that has served 7 terms in Congress, that the DCCC, that the Democrat establishment is trying to beat their own incumbent candidate, because he's not left-wing enough. And so if they're taking out a guy that's a 7-term incumbent because he's pro-life, and they're giving this Connor Lamb a pass in an open seat, there's something going on here. And that something is probably either Lamb is a sham and he's going to vote with the Democrats when he actually gets in there, or they don't really, there's some other kind of skullduggery going on. Bottom line is that the only thing more rare in a woolly mammoth these days is a pro-life, pro-Second Amendment Democrat. I'm not buying what Mr. Lamb is selling.
Well, and again, once they start voting, they will vote with Nancy Pelosi. They will not vote independently.
Right. Right. I mean, look, the Democratic Party, you have to adhere to their ultra left wing orthodoxy. I mean, look at the United States Senate. You've got all these Democrat Senate incumbents, 10 of them in states that President Trump won, that are going to be in the fight for their lives for reelection. That Senate, that Trump tax cut was going to pass. It had the votes. It was going to pass. Why wouldn't the Democrat leadership let Joe Donnelly vote for it, or Joe Manchin, or Sherrod Brown, or Claire McCaskill, or Heidi Heitkamp? It's going to pass. Why not? Let them take the vote. But they wouldn't, because you cannot be a moderate Democrat anymore. They just don't exist.
I'll tell you what, we've got a great example here in Nevada. It may not be on your radar yet. It eventually will be. There is a guy who has sat in this studio and proclaimed himself a moderate Democrat, who is now going to have a primary fight for governor, a Democrat, Chris Gianciulliani, who is a radical left-wing Democrat. It may well be that Sisolak doesn't survive that primary because the party, the Democrat Party, is just tilted to the left.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen any numbers on it, but here's what I can tell you that I do know. Dianne Feinstein, liberal. Some of your listeners, she represents, she's been a liberal, accomplished senator from the state of California, could not get the endorsement from her state party. I don't know how many terms she's been in the Senate as long as I could vote, but the bottom line is, you know, they couldn't give her the endorsement because she's not liberal enough. That just, like, blows my mind that Dianne Feinstein's not liberal enough to get a state party endorsement in California. So yeah, I think Sisolak's in real trouble out there, and just buy some popcorn and enjoy the show, because there's nothing more brutal in the Democrat primary.
And I hope they each spend about $1 million on the primary. Wouldn't that be nice?
Kevin, that'd be a damn shame. I'd hate to see that happen. You know, I don't wish ill on anybody.
Bob Panuchyk joining us, co-chair of the RNC. We're going to have a new Secretary of State. Rex Tillerson was fired. Mike Pompeo is the designate. I'm curious, a lot of people on the outside are saying, oh, more chaos in the White House. Is it going to impact anything, first of all, beginning in November, or even beyond 2020, this so-called chaos in the White House?
Well, it's the thing. This is kind of like this old blue wave narrative. When you can't talk about issues or policy, you talk about process. I've been doing this for 32 years, and when you're stuck and you can't talk about the issue, you talk about the process of how it works. I mean, the bottom line is the president is delivering. Whether this person's in the White House staff or that person, the bottom line, he's getting tax cuts passed. He's rolling back regulations. He was just in California to look at prototypes for the wall. He's building the wall. He is delivering on the promises he made in the campaign. Promises made, promises kept. And whether the staff changes or what, it doesn't matter, because this president is still working for American working families. And working men and women are more prosperous today. They have more job opportunities. They're more secure locally, and they're more secure nationally, and that's what the president's job is. And so I don't think people are as concerned how he does it or who's helping him do it. I think they're concerned about the results. And right now, Kevin, the results are fantastic.
Bob, our final question. All of the chaos, the possible loss in Pennsylvania. And by the way, just very quickly, there's no automatic recount, but is the RNC or somebody else going to help finance a recount if it's just a matter of 400 or 500 votes?
Kevin, I can't really say that. I know that there have been a lot of conversations. I'm not going to make any news here with that issue.
Fair enough. Despite all of that, though, the work of the Republican National Committee is continuing. The money raising, all of that is going forward in a really great fashion.
Absolutely. We've had record fundraising every month. Ronna McDaniel, our chair, has done a fantastic job. She's out in Los Angeles raising money with the president last night. We've outraised the Democratic National Committee 2-1. We've got $40 million cash on hand, and I think that they're like sitting on like maybe 400,000-500,000. The problem with the Democrats is they post a number like they raised $7 million, but they don't talk about the $6.5 million they have in debt. So they're in a pretty bad shape.
Bob, it's always good to visit with you. Thank you so much. We'll check in with you again soon. Okay.
Looking forward to it, Kevin. Take care.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Panuchyk, joining us, co-chair of the RNC, joining us from our nation's capital. Stick around. We got a whole bunch to do. Coming up at the top of the hour, Amy Tarkanian will be in the house. And I always love it when she joins us, because it kind of brightens the studios. We always turn the lights down because she just brightens up the room. She's going to join us top of the hour as we continue live and local now.
Adam Laxalt answers few questions and offers no solution. He's taken money from about every lobbyist and big casino in town. He can't provide the adult leadership Nevadans deserve. Dan Schwartz has been a CEO, solves problems, and won't take a dime from lobbyists.
Paid for by friends of Dan Schwartz.
Do you have dental insurance but haven't found a dentist you trust? Hey, Kevin Wall here. If you're paying for dental benefits, shouldn't you and your family make the most of those benefits? That's why you need to call True Dentistry and make an appointment now. Since I moved to Vegas back in 2011, I've been proud to call Dr. Joe Willardson at True Dentistry my dentist. In fact, I've never felt more comfortable in a dentist chair than I do at True Dentistry. Plus, True Dentistry knows you're busy, so they're open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursdays. Heck, I can even get my teeth cleaned before my show. And appointments are also available Fridays and Saturdays. Call them to schedule your free consultation and use the annual insurance benefits you've already paid for. Call True Dentistry at 702-434-4800. They accept all major insurance. That's 434-4800. 434-4800. True Dentistry is conveniently located just off the 215 at 9061 West Post. Or check them out at TrueDentistry.com. At True Dentistry, it's all about your smile.
Cat owners, listen up. There's a new product for cats who have the need for weed. It's called Meowawana. This isn't your daddy's catnip. The purveyors at Meowawana have developed an entire line of 100% organic catnip, accessories, and apparel. And Meowawana is manufactured with no marijuana. But who cares? It is so cool. Check out their amazing website at meowawana.com. You'll find jars of buds, pill bottles of leaf and flake, spliffs, blunts, spray, and even medical Meowawana ID cards. Your furry friends will love it. And Meowawana is produced right here in the USA. It's a perfect treat for your BFF. That's best feline friend. And you know how good catnip is for your cat. It helps stimulate exercise and is safe and non-addictive. Order Meowawana now and get the Kevin Wall special. 15% off. Just use the promo code WALL at checkout. We're not kidding around. Go to meowawana.com. That's MEOWIJUANA.com. Meowawana.com.
Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm so excited about Rhythm Kitchen's incredible New Orleans-style lunch buffet that I want to treat you to a free lunch. This New Orleans-style lunch buffet includes jambalaya, hush puppies, fried okra, plus a full salad bar and a soft drink. Every day on Live and Local Now, I'll be giving away a free New Orleans-style lunch buffet. So keep listening, and I'll see you at Rhythm Kitchen.
Do you want to earn a higher rate of return than you're making in the stock market? I'm talking about beating the market year after year. Hi, I'm Greg Herline. If you want to make more tax-free income, call me today at 888-738-1764. I specialize in helping people make more tax-free income with an IRA-approved retirement vehicle. And best of all, it's approved by the IRS. So what are you waiting on? Call me at 888-738-1764 and take control of your financial future with tax-free income. Call me at 888-738-1764. The consultation is absolutely free, so call me at 888-738-1764.
Horizon Trust Company is an independent passive custodian and is not associated or affiliated with and does not recommend, promote, or advise any specific investment opportunity, investment company, or any agents, employees, representatives, or other of such firms or entities. Investments are not FDIC insured, offer no bank guarantee, and may lose value.
Take control of your financial future. Call 888-738-1764.
Despite billions spent and a huge tax hike, Nevada schools are last in America. Crowded classrooms, low test scores, and unprepared graduates. A code red emergency that wrecks middle-class families and jobs. As Governor Dan Schwartz will fix it.
Paid for by friends of Dan Schwartz.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is Live and Local Now. I love it. I love it. I love the Democrats squealing like pigs and talking about the closing down of the House Intelligence Committee investigation into Russian collusion. I absolutely love it. I mean, they are so over the top on this issue. And yet it's very simple. There is no evidence that either Trump or Hillary or their campaigns colluded with the Russians. And that's what the charge of those committees was, I thought. Here's Adam Schiff, the Democrat response to the GOP shutting down the House Intelligence Committee Russian collusion investigation.
The majority on the Intelligence Committee made the decision to prematurely shut down the Russian investigation, the only authorized investigation in the House of Representatives into what the Russians did in the last election, what the U.S. government response was, and the issue of any coordination or collusion with the Trump campaign. That was a terrible disservice to the country and the American people, and represented a reneging on the commitment that was made at the outset of the investigation to follow the facts wherever they lead. Instead, what the majority on the Intelligence Committee did was go through the motions of an investigation, call in witnesses but allow them to refuse to answer questions, allow them to invoke non-existent privileges, or simply decline to answer because the witness didn't deem the question relevant or because they would rather not say. Documents that were necessary to obtain to determine whether witnesses were telling the truth would not be subpoenaed. This is no way to run an investigation. It is only a way to go through the motions to give the pretense of trying to find the truth.
Or is it that we found the truth and you simply do not want to accept it? That's what's going on here. The Democrats have had their investigation. The majority of the committee has found there is no evidence of collusion, period. And by the way, it exonerates not only the Republicans, but also the Democrats. They're saying that Hillary didn't collude or the DNC did not collude. I mean, I would think that would be a good thing, not a bad thing. That's why this Democrat response is like crocodile tears. I just don't get a sense that they're real.
It's time for Nevada Voices.
My name is Marcos Lopez, and I'm with Generation Opportunity, a grassroots advocacy group for limited government and economic freedom. Today I want to talk about an attack on justice and basic freedom. Our Fourth Amendment says that the right of people to be secure against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. But consider the case of the 22-year-old Joseph Rivers. In April 2015, he was on an LA-bound train chasing his Hollywood dream. In his bag, he had his life savings, $16,000 in cash. A DEA agent boarded the train and asked where the passengers were headed. Then the agent asked to search Joseph's bag. Joseph complied. There were no drugs, guns, or evidence of wrongdoing, but the agent suspected the cash was drug money and took it. Was that a reasonable seizure? It was legal because of a practice known as civil asset forfeiture. It allows law enforcement to take cash or property if they suspect it was involved in a crime. There was no due process. Without ever filing criminal charges or obtaining a conviction, U.S. law enforcement can keep a presumably innocent citizen's property. In 2014, government seized more private property than burglars stole. Civil asset forfeiture goes against American traditions of justice. To protect our rights, Nevada must pass common sense reform, so police can't take property without a criminal conviction and local departments can't benefit from the property they seize. The battle-born state must take a stand. Please contact your local representatives today.
By the way, just a quick note that if Connor Lamb wins that race in Pennsylvania 18, he will only serve for a matter of months because they're in the process of redistricting. And it's possible that the district he's serving in right now may not exist come November. And that all this effort, I mean the millions, even the Republicans tossed $10 million into the kitty. Now, as a guy that sells radio advertising, if somebody wants to throw $10 million into a campaign on this radio show, I'll say yes. But the fact is, I mean, to be really honest, that particular race doesn't mean all that much other than the Democrats for a few months are going to have one more Democrat in the House of Representatives. And again, this race may be contested for weeks or maybe months to come. We don't know. Connor Lamb is declaring victory. I don't know. Maybe he is the winner. Or maybe there will be a recount. And if you listen to Bob Poduchek, he was not ready to, unleash some news. But he said, there's a possibility that there might be a recount. Anyway, stick around. Amy Tarkanian. She's been a part of some of these tough races. We'll see what she thinks of Pennsylvania 18. We'll do that and more coming up. Live and local now. Stress can make your life miserable. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Take it from me, stress can come from work with bosses and coworkers or at home with family members. Dr. Christy Thomas, Doctor of Nursing, APRN, at Vitality Medical and Wellness Center, knows the triggers of stress vary from person to person, and so do the symptoms. Because stress is such a normal occurrence in our lives, many of us don't even recognize that we're suffering from it. If you're easily agitated, feel overwhelmed, have difficulty relaxing, or if you're going through a bout of low self-esteem, then you need to see if my friends at Vitality Medical and Wellness Center can help. A simple saliva test will determine any hormone imbalances, and then Dr. Christie will develop a treatment plan tailored to your needs. Call my friend Dr. Christy Thomas at Vitality Medical and Wellness Center. That's 702-731-1200. That's 702-731-1200. They're conveniently located just off the 215 at 5735 South Fort Apache and online at vitalitymedicalwellness.com.